The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lined with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's my intro music. Well, obviously we're not outside, so if you need to pray for weather in the coming year, I'm probably going to have a little bit of insecurity on that one, so don't ask me about praying for the weather, but we will make the best of it. John's gospel is filled with irony. One of the things John likes to talk about is how people say stuff and they really don't know what they're saying. On Good Friday, we read from John's passion account, and in 19:5, Jesus comes out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And they're all chucking it up. It's pretty funny how they're, you know, we're making fun of old Jesus here, right? And the Roman emperor's man, Pontius Pilate, has on the cross the words, "Jesus Christ, King," or "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Well, the joke's on them, because he is the king. And what they thought the king was going to look like is the same thing you and I look for. Power. Strength, mighty military might, riches, freedom to do whatever you want, the way we want it to be. And instead the king comes wearing a crown of thorns, beaten and abused. But the joke is on them. Jesus is the king of the Jews. And we need to keep that in mind, because if you grew up like me, and if you may nod your head, does this sound familiar? Jesus came to die on the cross so that your sins will be forgiven, you can go to heaven. Does that sound vaguely familiar? That's what you're told, right? Because really about the only thing that matters is where I end up for eternity and who's going to take care of my sins. Now, how many of you would agree with this? As a child, it's very confusing to you because, well, I had siblings. If you didn't have siblings, you didn't. But I thought, so like if I messed up really bad and my dad said, well, I'm going to kill your sister so you can get forgiven. I would think that was just like, well, all right some days because I didn't always like her. But for the most part, I would think that was weird and didn't make sense. How does killing Jesus because I did something wrong, like how does that make sense? But I just accepted it because I'm a church-going guy and it sounded like it worked out all right for me anyhow. My sins are forgiven. But there's a rest of the story and it has to do with being the king. It's not just about our sins being forgiven. I'm not saying that's not important, but that's like the beginning of a whole big picture. And the big picture is who's going to rule this mess called earth. From the beginning in the garden, we were supposed to keep control of the garden. We were supposed to keep stuff out that didn't belong in the garden. That was our task. That was our job. We were called the image of God, which is a divine title. It's a royal title. It's a priestly title. Our task on planet Earth, you and I, human beings, was to make the world a wonderful place where God ruled. Instead, we blew the whole thing and then we blamed him, right? Everyone in here said at least once, why did God let that happen? I said it at 2 o'clock this morning when it started raining. Why did God let that happen? And he's like, really? You think you know enough about what's going on in West Tennessee that you know what needs to happen? So you and I are confronted in the gospel with this other meaning. When Jesus is brought out, Pontius Pilate says, behold the man, Greek word anthropos, where we get anthropology. That's the same word that's in the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh, which is translated in Greek. And at this time, when the Gospels are written, that's the Bible they read. You know how many of you read the Hebrew Bible? Please, at least somebody would say they read the English Bible, right? You read the Bible in English, right? Yes, thank God, thank you. So we read the Bible in a translation because we can't read Hebrew. We can't read Greek. Well, in Jesus' day, the Jews couldn't read Hebrew, a lot of them, so they had to read it in Greek. So when they read Genesis about Adam, it didn't say Adam. That's a Hebrew word. It said anthropos. Behold the anthropos, ecce homo in Latin. Behold the man is John telling you. Now do you get it? Don't get it yet. All right. So it says when Jesus is crucified, there was a garden in the place where he was crucified. There's a garden in the place where he's crucified. Do you get it now? Well, okay, if you pay attention to the Bible, when it all started out, that man was in a garden. Now do you get it? Yeah. Well, congratulations. It took me 30 years to figure it out. Because I'm a literalist like most of you. Well, it said it was a garden. Must be a garden. And Mary thought he was a gardener. Because apparently they had gardeners running around all the time. And they crucified people in gardens. The gardener means what? Adam. What John is trying to explain to you is God has fixed this whole thing up, folks. It's not just about, yeah, you screwed up and he forgave you. It's about fixing the world. Every Sunday you come in here, one of us forgives your sins. You leave here sin-free. Then you look at each other. Well, what do you want? Let's start our new batch. Let's get on the road. Call someone an SOB. You SOB, cut me off in traffic, you. I hope you die, right? Let's start the new batch. We'll get them taken care of next week. What's going to make the world a better place? What God has done in Jesus is what's going to make the world a better place. Now, how do we know for sure that it's trustworthy? The resurrection. Except we can't believe in the resurrection anymore because we're modern people, right? They make fun of us for believing that. We have to doubt it. We're supposed to doubt it. We're not allowed to really think it's true. And the new thing now is they talk about the flying spaghetti monster. Like, it's, you believe in God? Well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the flying spaghetti monster either. It's like, well, you really need to read the Bible because there's no part of the Bible talks about flying spaghetti monsters. And they say things like, well, in those days, those people were kind of dumb, so they believed in resurrection. Let me tell you what people in the ancient world didn't believe in. Resurrection. How do I know that? Well, how many people believe Jesus rose from the dead? Let's start with the apostles. Mary came in and said, Jesus is risen. And they all said, women. Because in the ancient world, women were not allowed to be witnesses because they were thought to be untrustworthy. Did you know that? So why would the gospel put that Jesus is appearing to Mary if they're not someone you're going to rely on? Like, would you build your case on a 3-year-old's testimony? Is that, we got our star witness coming in. Well, he's in the bathroom. He'll be right with us. You're going to make your star witness somebody your society does not trust or believe? They didn't believe it when she told them. You know who else didn't believe it? Everyone else. Everyone here knows. What did they do to Christians in the early days? They persecuted and killed them, right? Turns out ancient people aren't as dumb as modern people claim they are. They had to make arguments to convince them. Paul makes arguments. He makes a list of people who Jesus appeared to after he was crucified so that they would believe him, including a group of 500 people. Here's the modern theory. They believed in Jesus. Any of you ever had someone you loved die? Anybody? Huh? After they died, did you get together with your friends and say, wouldn't it be fun if we told people they're alive again? That would be the best joke ever. So they're trying, this is what non-believers want to convince you. Jesus, who they thought was the Messiah, was going to set the world right, got crucified, they were all tore up and upset about it, and then 3 days later they said, I got a great idea. Why do we say he's alive? Isn't that the funniest thing? And then one said, yeah, they'll probably crucify us too. And you know, that's like the worst way to die. Yeah, that's awesome. I think this is a great plan. Let's go be fed to lions and beaten and chopped up and have our heads cut up and thrown off buildings. I'm just listing the ways they die. Because that way, the joke's on them. Because we're ancient people, we're really stupid. When your friends tell you this is all made up nonsense, that's nonsense, but it ain't our faith that's nonsense. Skepticism was present in the ancient world, and they had to make arguments. They had to make arguments, but in the end, there's only one argument that works. Am I willing to hand my life over? If you don't want to believe, you're not going to believe. And actually, a lot of insight now from psychology is that the main reason why people don't believe is because they don't want to believe. That's why they don't believe. Like, they'll say, well, I'd like to believe. Except a lot of them will tell you they don't want to believe. So what we're here experiencing today is not just about the skepticism. It's about what it means. I believe it happened. I'm assuming you believe that you came out in rain. Some of you thought you were going to be standing outside because you didn't get the message. But you believed in that. Say, I'm going to go stand outside in the rain because I believe Jesus rose from the dead. His resurrection, and Paul makes it clear, his resurrection means he is the king, and this is how it works. He is going to conquer every principality and power in the universe. That is human beings, that is Putin, that is, I don't know, whoever your favorite bad leader in the world is right now. And I don't mean this politically, but in all honesty, when I hear someone in a foreign country say, I don't know, we may have to start throwing nuclear bombs, I don't have a lot of comfort saying, well, at least Joe Biden's my president. And I'm not saying that politically. I'm just literally, there's no part of me that's watching him speak. Well, I know we're safe. And there's not a human being on the planet who I'd say if they were president, I would feel safe. To make it clear for those of you who voted for. Now, this is not about, this is about there's not a human being on the planet who I'd say when someone says, I don't know, I think maybe we're going to start throwing nuclear weapons at you, they'd say, well, they're in charge. There's only one person who gives me hope, and it's Jesus. And I don't think what's going on is strictly limited to a bunch of human beings. I think there's principalities and powers at work. What we traditionally call things like the god of war, the god of the underworld, the god of death. And I think the god of lust is doing her job too, as I look at people's lives. Those principality powers are at work today. But what I know is when Jesus walked out of that tomb and appeared to those people and said, I am the King of Kings, and when Paul says that King is going to take care of everything, I know that I have to make a decision, and I know you have to make a decision about whether or not we want to be part of that. I shared a story, and it just popped out of my mouth, so I'm going to share it again here. Maybe I was supposed to. I spent 10 years, I'm a master's in social work. I was the director of training at the premier provider of mental health care for youth in the state of Tennessee. My job was when things, I went to the worst parts of anything. I'd always tell them after I trained, if you see me again, it's something bad. Because I was always the one who had to go in and take care of those problems. Now I'm a priest, all right? And I got a call because a girl in a mental health hospital claimed that she was infested with demons. And her family wanted me to go do an exorcism. It's not something I do regularly, but I believe in it. So I went. And so I met with the psychiatrist and the social worker there, and they're like, you know, we believe in God, but we just don't believe in all this stuff. I said, well, let me tell you. I have a master's in social work. I spent 10 years in the field. And if she is mentally ill and she thinks she's got a demon, having a priest come and say some prayers may convince her that she doesn't have any more and she'll feel better. And if she doesn't feel better, she's just the way she is now. But let me be 100% clear with you. If it's a demon, there ain't nothing you're going to do that's going to take care of it. And at the moment when the girl said to me, it's gone, she got better. Principalities and powers infect little girls, but they also infect entire nations. What we're celebrating today is the forgiveness of our sin. What we're celebrating today is something that they can deny because it doesn't make sense to them and they're skeptical. But none of that's new. None of that's new. And as Paul says, if I'm wrong, we're pitiful. If I'm wrong, we're pitiful. But then Paul says, but I ain't wrong. I saw Jesus. He did rise from the dead. And so we gather this day, rain or shine, and say, alleluia, the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.